I need a motion to come into public session. Mike, Rob? We're in public session. Please stand for the pledge. Please remain standing for a moment of silent meditation. We have two recognitions. Before we get into the first recognition, Mr. Nicosia, can I please ask you just to stand up for a second? For those who don't know Sal, Sal is one of our most active citizens, and he celebrated his 87th birthday yesterday. So I just want to take a second to recognize Sal for being here, being active. And thank you for all you do for us. Thank you, Sal.
I believe Mrs. Flanagan Smith is here, Mrs. Dolan, Mr. Miller, and Mr. Klein. If you could come up for the recognition, please.
This
presentations. 245 Union Avenue.
Dave Weinbinder is in the audience. Last week, the Board of Education approved a contract for 245, and Ms. Marianne Sadowski is here also. Dave is the principal of the firm which bought the property and just wants to give a brief overview and his intent. Welcome, Dave.
Yes.
You can sit there. Just turn the green light on and the microphone.
Thank God I have partners that know what they're doing. My partner, Ed Glacken, and my partner, Allison Brennan.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for having us tonight. We made some
conceptual plans
that we'd like to show you. We're thankful that we were awarded the property, and we look forward to working with the school district and the neighbors. So where should we show you what we have?
Is it computerized or hard copy?
Hard copy.
If you don't mind, why don't you just go over there and we'll actually get up and we can walk over to you guys? Or is there an easel?
Oh, yeah,
do you have an easel anywhere, Craig? Just as you're speaking, please try to talk into the mic. It's a little bit difficult so that the folks in the back can hear.
No problem. What we tried to do was to make it a friendly development for the neighbors. We have three potential concept plans that we're working with right now. One is for a drugstore and a market, one is for a drugstore and a restaurant, and one is for a drugstore and a C-store / gas station. None of these plans are hard. We have many tenants that are speaking to us about the property. We are going to make a formal application to the town of Brookhaven. We're working with DOT to conceptually make sure that we're both on page of what is acceptable and what they want for the neighbors and the access off of Patrick Colebrook Road. I don't know what that Court Street is, what that street is called, but we have to deal with that as well.
Coates.
So there are many, many different facets of this development, and we're just, I guess, walking through all the different steps that we're, okay. Both Ed and I are developers. My family has been developing for over 75 years on Long Island. We own about 50 properties. We've done shopping centers, residential developments, and office buildings, as well as health clubs.
I've been in the development business for the better part of 30 years. I was actually the VP of real estate at King Cullen Supermarkets for 15 years, did a lot of ground up development for them. And so just to expand on what David said, so the normal development process is you identify a good piece of land, then you work through the acquisition and then the zoning issues, identify potential tenants, and try to make it all come together. So we're in the early phases of that development process. So again, we haven't finalized plans or tenants, and again, we're here to we always try to make it a win-win situation with the community. So again, we're not here to present fait accompli at all. We're just here to sort of tell you that we're in the process and make ourselves available to the community and the school board.
Great. Mike.
I have a question. When you said access onto Patrick Holbrook Road in that area, because there's the light right there by the 7-Eleven, and there's the light up by the service road. The access and the cut onto Patrick Holbrook Road, you're envisioning a light there? Or is this going to be a right out and a right in only? Do you or all your plans dependent on getting that access right?
He's talking about Coates?
No, I'm talking about Patrick Holbrook Road.
Patrick Holbrook Road?
Yeah.
A right in, right out.
Yeah, right in, right out. No, yes. No traffic light there.
I think that I don't believe a traffic light. No, just a right in, right out. I don't believe they would. I don't think there's a traffic light
shortly thereafter.
Surely that wouldn't be. We're not interested in slowing up the traffic.
Any other questions? Dorothy?
So when you're talking about timeline, it could be another year, 2 years?
I am currently actively developing sites in the town of Brookhaven. I have developed in most major townships on Long Island. Brookhaven is notoriously slow in their processes, and that's really beyond our control, so 2 years is a good estimate.
And one more question. So are you going to be doing the build-outs based on the contracts you get with tenants, or are you going to do the build-out first and then get tenants in based on the type of space that you have?
We don't intend to build what we call on spec, which would be put up a building and hope that the tenants come.
So you'll get the tenants first?
We'll identify tenants first and go to the town with a plan specifically for those tenants.
Okay, thank you.
Douglas?
Gentlemen, if you're looking at 2 years approximately for the development, at what point are you going to knock the building down soon, or is it going to stay up and right until that development process starts? What do you estimate on that?
I was going to say, we're not looking for 2 years. We're looking for as fast as possible.
Right.
Our history has been 2 years. I don't believe that we will be looking to knock the building down until we're ready to start, until we have permits for our prospective tenants.
Understood. So then that being said, that is in the middle of downtown Holbrook, so you will be, until construction starts there, upkeeping the property and all that, so it's not an eyesore.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Wish you a lot of luck.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
I'm looking at the plans. You have two buildings in one and three in the other. Are you looking at specifically one building for one tenant, or is it going to be more than one shop within a building?
They're built to suits for specified. Oh, the where you see three.
That's a gas station.
That's a gas station with a C store. So it's not three.
The white
plan.
Okay. But as far as the other two buildings, are they going to be single businesses? Are
you
going to put more
single businesses? A restaurant and a drugstore, or a market and a drugstore, single tenant buildings.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Well, gentlemen, we look forward to a successful, long, productive relationship between you and your tenants and the district. We're very happy to have this property back on the tax rolls. Thank you.
Okay.
And I'm sure the community is as well, and we wish you luck in your endeavors. Thank you very much for coming out tonight. Yes.
Okay,
thank. If anybody wants to see them, maybe we can just put them outside for a few minutes. And if anybody in the audience wants to see them, okay. Carol, any other visitors other than this? Okay. Laura Slattery?
Good evening, Superintendent Nolan, members of the Board of Ed. Over the past few months, we have listened to the presentations on the different options for school closings. I think the one thing that we can all agree on is that we are faced with a declining enrollment. Right now, the enrollment has declined at the elementary school level, and in the next few years, probably at the middle school level. The term that has been used is least impact to students. I would like to share a different perspective on what least impact means to me. My son Michael attended Waverly Avenue School for kindergarten. We live in Nisconset off Gibbs Pond Road. Our home school is Winona. So when he was five, I was asked to put him on a bus, a 40-minute bus ride, to attend a school not only on the other side of town, but for the first time, putting a kindergartner on a bus with significant disabilities, I was told this was in his best interest. It wasn't important what building he went to. What was important were the teachers and the programs in the building. Michael never attended Winona. He wound up eventually at Gate Lot, which is where then he went on to Samoset and Sachem North. The impact to him and many special ed parents are told it's not important what building they go to. Some kids, you can ask parents, I can give you their names, their kids are moved from building to building to building and never even stay in a home school or one school for their whole time in elementary school. So what special ed parents are told is what building they're in, it doesn't have to be in your neighborhood, it's not gonna matter. What's gonna matter are the teachers and the programs in the buildings. Well, now that Michael's graduated, I can tell you the impact to him of never attending Winona was nothing. What impacted him in this district were his teachers, his coaches, his guidance counselors, his psychologist, his speech teacher. Everything that was important to him, he got from what was inside a building. It had nothing to do with a building. So he graduated with a diploma. He's currently attending Suffolk Community College as a full-time student. And every afternoon he goes to Merrimack to work as a custodian, where after 1 week of work, his supervisor had to call me to tell me his work ethic, his job performance was incredible. They gave him his own keys, his own cart, and that was all because of the support that he got from the teachers and the programs at Sachem. So what I want to say is I hope you consider that you're asking special ed parents every single solitary day to send their kids never to a home school, but to wherever the programs are best. A few years ago, 2 years ago, I think it was, when we had the budget crisis, 250 teachers were laid off, programs were cut, clubs were cut. That is what impacts students. So as you decide on what we're going to do with a declining enrollment, when you talk about least impact to students, remember special ed parents sitting in the audience that you ask to do this every day. And remember what's really important to our kids and to all kids. Kids will surprise you. They will overcome obstacles given the right attitude by the adults around them and the right support. With that, they will overcome. Michael overcame an IQ below 80. Another school district wanted to put him in a life skills program. That's what he overcame by coming to Sachem with the right support. And I hope you consider that and we'll look at it from a different perspective. Thank you.
Thank you. Carol, no more? No more? Okay. We'll move on to the agenda. Need a motion for bid awards, please. Mike Ahern, Terry Ahern. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Need a motion for consent agenda for personnel items 5A1 through 5C5, please. Mike Ahern, Rob Scavo. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. That takes us to the middle of page 6. Action items. Appointment of choreographer for North Musical. Motion, please. Mike Isernia. Rob Scavo. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Recommendation from Committee on Special Education. Motion, please. Mike Isernia. Terry Ahern. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of resolution for administrative appointments, which, correct me if I'm wrong, just for clarity, this is just correcting the dates in which these were done in the past.
Yes.
On the October 27th meeting. I need a motion, please. Rob Scavo, Mike Ahernia. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Monthly reports, determination on preschool education. Motion, please. No motion, sorry about that. Board of Education subcommittees. Anybody from the Legislative Committee? Advisory Audit Committee? Budget Advisory?
Question,
Rob.
I attended the Budget Advisory Committee last night, and it was well attended by the committee members. There was some discussion about some of the stuff that the board charged the committee with, which was looking at supplies, building supplies, that we had cut in previous years, transportation, before and after care for sixth grade. There was a particular, I think the committee was looking for clarification on transportation. Now, Mike, I know you had brought up the transportation, or you had suggested we look at transportation. They want to know if it was just looking at the bus routes and making the bus routes more efficient, or were we looking at reducing the mileage for private and parochial schools? Or would
reducing the mileage for private parochial schools, but I was looking at to make sure that we were busing as efficiently as possible out-of-district students.
I think that's what they were looking for. They were looking for more clarification on
it. That's what it was. It was the efficiency of the out-of-district students. Are we using more buses than we need to?
Out-of-district or efficiency?
Out-of-district.
Okay.
In other words, are we using more buses to bus the out-of-district that we could save a route by combining and then dropping off, that kind of thing?
Okay.
Mike, your scope was exclusive to the out-of-district students, or was...
That's what my scope was.
Okay.
I think that they would also look at the students in district as well to see whether or not, you know, at 9:30 a.m. are the buses full? Are a lot of parents driving their kids to school, and whether or not
they
can reduce packages that way and still get the kids?
I have no objection. I think when I was on the committee, we did do something like that, right, Steve? We had gone through. He showed us the program that's used to actually, as efficiently possible based on the kids' ages and where their locations were. So I don't know what – we didn't do much after that, after Steve's presentation, but if they think there's something there, certainly they could at least validate what's being done.
Rob, I don't think Steve or any of us would mind looking into that, but I think I can safely speak for Steve. He probably does that on a daily basis.
And we're required to by state ed every year on an annual basis. But we currently utilize three different types of transportation for out of district. We use regional buses contracts when buying one seat is cheaper, and we use our van contract when up to 14 students on a vehicle, so we pay for a vehicle and up to 14 can ride. So if a child costs $1,500 a year, once you exceed four, which would be $60,000 a year, it goes onto a wee van. Once it gets beyond 14, it goes onto a town bus. We currently do the two private schools that cost a 6 hour because of their distance, and we do them on Sachem vans. So we do utilize everything at our availability. I sent Ron the report today to project what we do for the rest of the year based on what we're currently doing, and we try to keep it as efficient as possible based on cost. Sometimes that infringes on the students, as Mr. Sainte will tell you. He'll get calls that the children sometimes run the bus for an extension of over an hour based on the location of the school, because if there's 14 students on a van, sometimes it's in district for 45 minutes picking up those 14 based on where they live before it heads out to Stony Brook or Syosset for Our Lady of Mercy, or Riverhead for Mercy Academy High School. So that is looked at on a regular basis. I can show you a spreadsheet of how many children are in each school, the contracts are. Those sheets are available. I can send them to you tomorrow.
Sure. I think the other question that came up, and they're going to look into it. They'll probably bring you in to speak to them as well,
sure.
Steve. But they said that the number of people that are driving their children to school, they want to know whether or not attendance was taken on a bus, or a head count as to how many kids are utilizing a bus to determine whether or not if there's, two buses doing, or three buses doing six stops in a neighborhood, could you get by with doing two buses doing six stops because of the number of students that are being driven? And nobody has an answer. I don't think we take a head count.
It's fairly simple answer, yeah. Actually. State Ed tells us that we have to have room on the vehicle.
For all of them.
School, should there be an emergency evacuation on their regular routes. So
it's based on the number of students, no matter.
Everyone's attending when we schedule the buses, and the board has given us directive that at the elementary school we have 50, at the middle school we have 48, and at the high school we have 54. That's been adjusted through the years. So 54 may not be, traditionally don't ride the high school bus, but some drive, some don't. But if we ever had to get them out of the high school, we have to have those buses available.
Okay.
Douglas?
That was kind of my, I was going to ask, I know for a fact a lot of people drop their kids off, because trying to get out of my neighborhood by Smith Road in the morning, it's a disaster with the amount of people that are dropping their kids off. But I was just going to ask you that. We have to be able to evacuate all the kids,
right.
And that's, okay.
So, just
yes,
when I went last year to report, to reduce the cost of a bus, it's each bus does a high school, middle school, and elementary school. So, and if we really tightened up and consolidated at one, you're only giving a bus driver an open time slot. In order to save a full bus, you would have to start, we're eliminated at the high school, eliminated at the middle school, eliminate the elementary, and the probability that that bus would be reduced in all three slots is pretty slim, because over the last 5 or 6 years, we've been, based on enrollment, based on where the children live, we've been naturally shrinking. I think it was 20 routes.
You went from 157, currently we're at 128.
So just for clarity's purposes, you're going to provide them with the old data and they can look through it, but the scope of their assignment will be towards the out-of-district students. Is that, am I understanding this correctly?
I would have no problem in terms of in-district transportation if they wanted to take a look at our after-school transportation, our 5 o'clock sports buses and whatnot, and see how much those are being utilized and if there's money we can save there. I wouldn't mind them looking into that.
Is there agreement to have the scope expanded for the after-hours buses?
No. You know, the only thing, and again, I'm only speaking through my experience when I was at the high school, depending on the time of the year, especially with athletics, you know, in this current winter season, buses could look like they're empty because kids have practice in the evening or whatever, and they come back. In the fall and the spring, those buses, you know, could certainly be filled. So
we currently are using helper buses at the 9th period and at the 345 at both high schools.
And in other words, the play comes and goes.
Does the state mandate also, is that also for after-school buses as well?
No.
Okay.
Just mandates that you treat them all equally. If you eliminate in-district transportation after school, you have to eliminate out-of-district transportation after school. And if you had it in-district, you have to make it available out-of-district.
Just a quick question.
Dorothy was next.
I was just going to bring up, I know that when we had made some reductions last year, we took out one of the after-school buses. That was, I think, what was that, Bruce, 30 or 40,000, something?
It was 40,000. We took it out of budget, but then we restored it because parents came back to the board, and we restored it.
So that would have to be a discussion again as far as whether
it's really a bigger discussion for the board with the budget. But when we attempted to do it, we had to find the money and restore the busing.
But that was included in this year's budget. Yes. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, we put the lessons.
It was put back in last
It was that 530 buses, which went back and forth. And ultimately, we put the busing in, and we had to find the money.
Okay.
Douglas?
Steve, just a clarification on the buses we're talking about, these 5 o'clock buses. When budget time comes around, you'll be able to tell us approximately how many people are riding on those buses?
I'm not sure.
This is something that what I'm asking is this data we normally keep periodically? Are there spot checks on the bus or numbers reported into the district as to how many kids are traveling on the buses?
Typically, only when we have problems that we go over 40 do we address anything. We don't take head counts and stuff except for the beginning of the winter season, and at the end of the year. We only do it 3 times.
Okay.
We could do it more often. It would just be more paperwork for the contractor to do, because those are all contractor buses.
Okay. Thank you.
Any question?
Bruce, on the transportation for the parochial schools or the private schools, can you just remind me, the state requires that what is the mileage that the state requires?
Up to 20, Sachem voted on it, the community voted on 25 miles.
And what do we provide that or over that?
Up to 25 miles from.
Are any of the schools over 25 miles that we take any of the kids to now?
No, we don't provide transportation over 25 miles.
We decided that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, Jim? Updates to the board?
Yeah, at the last board meeting, we were asked to go back and come up with creative ways that we could better utilize space in our building. So we really only had 4 days because of Thanksgiving, so we're still waiting to get information back from folks. But the two main areas that we are exploring would be providing a full-day pre-K opportunity. So we would have to probably get out an RFP for something like that. Which we've already started working on. And the other idea would be the child care. So currently we have before school and after school child care. We're looking into the possibility of providing greater opportunity during the school day for child care for residents and possibly employees as well. We've already started to explore the idea of child care during vacation, holiday recess periods. And we've also started to, we actually sent out a questionnaire to provide childcare at the middle school, and we got feedback on that.
How was the feedback on that?
There were people who expressed an interest.
A lot?
I'd say enough.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, we really only had about a four-day turnaround, so we're still waiting for, you know, vital information. The way the, you know, with the RFP, it would be similar to what we currently do with BOCES. It's about $10,000 a classroom, so depending on the number of students. You know, just to, ballpark, if we had, let's say, somebody who was going to provide full-day pre-K for, let's say, 500 students, they would need about, because the ratio is 16 students to, you know, to one, so that would be about 32 classrooms, $320,000, and that's just a very preliminary ballpark number.
Okay. Do you think by the next meeting we should we'll have more?
Absolutely.
Okay. Any questions for Jim? Terry?
Did we ever have aftercare for when the middle school, when we first opened up the high schools, didn't we have
I
something?
Don't remember. I'm not
for
sure.
Sixth grade. You used to have for sixth grade. Yep.
They used to be bused back to their home
yes.
school, right? You know, I thought I remembered having that one
yep.
before when you said it. And the full-day pre-K, would that be full-day instruction, or is that half-day and then
we're currently exploring both options.
Okay. Okay.
Dorothy?
Jim, with the after-school the aftercare for middle school. I know I saw one of the questionnaires that came home. So did you, I don't remember on there, was there a deadline of when to have those back by?
I believe there was. I know we got those through the middle schools actually, but I'm pretty sure there was a deadline on it.
Okay, so just give us a, do you have a rough idea? You want to get back to us
I'll have
on
to
that?
Get back to you, I don't know.
Okay.
But I was even surprised at the number of people who said they would be interested.
I'm curious because there's around 3,000 middle school students, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the 3,000, I wonder how many would be interested in doing that.
My guess, it would be mostly the sixth grade, but
right.
I'm not really, you know,
all
off the top
well
of my head, it depends
when
on.
When you get the number back,
I will definitely.
Let us know. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
And you'll also know on the holiday and vacation schedules as well, which
yeah,
I think
that
the community would
that
jump
I think
all over.
I was just going to say, absolutely.
Any other questions for Jim?
I do have another update.
Okay, Jim.
Just a couple of other updates. We have a group of folks who have been planning for a community meeting. I think we mentioned it a couple of board meetings ago, you know, that we're going to collaborate with the county and work on substance abuse education prevention and so on and so forth. So we're bringing many, many stakeholders from all corners of our community together. We're shooting for a public meeting on or around January 14th. We've had a couple of meetings already, starting to get more and more folks on board. We've had a lot of very, very positive involvement, parents included. So we look forward to that event. I can't tell you the number of thank yous I received, and you know, I wish I could share them with everybody. What our students and staff members did for folks for Thanksgiving was incredible, and the thank yous that I've received in the last couple of days. I know we provided food for well over 2,500 families, different agencies around the county. Folks already are preparing for Christmas and Hanukkah and the holidays. There's a grassroots movement of Sachem Moms who are collecting gift cards, and they want names from our buildings so that they can help families. It's just it's unbelievable, and when you read some of these letters, it's just heart-wrenching, but it just speaks volumes to who we all are about. So
Jim, can you share the story from with the Huntington, I believe it was Huntington, the stolen food and what our students did?
Yeah, I'm going to forget the details, but we last second, I guess it was on News 12, one of the agencies, their warehouse, all of their food supply was stolen. So one of our students heard about it or watched the news, and as a result of that, our students collected enough so that they could provide for all that was stolen from that agency. And the people were just overwhelmed, really. They really were.
Sure. Okay. Anything else, Jim?
Just people asked me to remind everybody that we've already started, but at elementary, middle, and high school, we have our holiday concerts going on. This weekend is the Festival of Trees and Lights at Sachem North. So if you check the calendar, there's plenty going on.
Jim, can we publicize that entire schedule online of all the different concerts? I know there's a lot of seniors that don't have kids in the school that would love something to do like that. If
sure.
we can just publish like all the dates of all the concerts, it might be something that they mm-hmm. would enjoy, something that they can get back. Anything? Future agenda, Dorothy?
Jim, just going back to the substance abuse and that program, I had sent you an email today about that. So anything that is filled out by the parents or the students, it all remains anonymous and confidential, correct?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. And that's why we do the parent permission first.
Okay, thank
Michael.
You.
Jim, when all the surveys are collected, that data is analyzed, we get back the SACHM,
mm-hmm.
the SACHM raw data and the SACHM
yes.
analysis, right? So we'll see how our kids are
yep.
answered. Okay. Are we on another subject?
We're on future discussion items.
Oh, future discussion items. I budget. I had a question for Bruce.
Ask it.
Bruce, I haven't seen the latest encumbrance report from yourself and Ron.
We were waiting for the last payroll, just so we have a couple of months of data to give to the board.
Okay.
But it'll be out next week.
Okay.
Any others? I just want to share, Jim, also, we spoke about this a little bit at the last meeting, the leadership day we had here. I saw an email that I just want to share with the community and the rest of the board. I haven't forwarded this over yet. I just got it this morning or last night. It wasn't from a single administrator thanking us again. It was from an administrator asking, can they bring, what was it, 10 of their other administrators in to look at it? They want to mimic the Leader in Me program in their building, and they're now asking to come back with 10 other administrators to sort of see what we're doing here. And I think, you know, imitation is the best form of flattery. And the fact that they're looking to, after that one session, come over and invest that kind of time, it's very noteworthy, and it means a lot. So thank you. Carol, any other visitors? Yep, Michael.
Let's just have a conversation quick. What are we going to, or how are we going to move forward now with regard to buildings and closures?
I think to complete the conversation that we had today, in order to for us to digest, we had the four scenarios. We've got to get the rest of this information. Hopefully we will have it by next week, and then we could evaluate this information along with the closures and then make a decision one way or the other. What are we going to do? Because I think one does impact the other. That's my recommendation. I don't know if anybody feels any differently, but I would think if that's ready by the 17th, that 17th we should have that discussion and either significantly narrow it down, eliminate some, or make a decision, quite frankly.
Bruce, when would you need to know what our direction is in order to start to formulate the budget?
At minimum by January. But Sal, I just want to make sure this, the RFP for the child care we're developing now, we're going to send it to Marianne. That's not going to happen by the next board meeting. I mean, this is, you know, much more extensive than that. Luckily, our neighbor school district in the north, Three Villages, went through it, so we have that template. But we're now developing it to give to Marianne. Marianne will then give it back to us. The bidding process will probably take 3 or 4 weeks.
No, I'm not talking to have all the details finalized, but to have an understanding of the potential real revenue that we may be able to generate.
That's the purpose of the bid, to give the vendors an opportunity. What do we want? What price are they going to be charging us? That's not going to happen by December 17th.
Would that be available, though, to impact this budget development cycle?
Oh, absolutely. It's a source of revenue that we don't have right now. We're having our building use our, you know, available space to a vendor who's now going to supply pre-K services. And we would get a building usage fee for the rooms like we do with BOCES.
So we could see the revenue in the
15, 16. Really, that is the purpose of the... But that's definitely not a one-week process.
Douglas.
So is it just safe to say, I mean, just to state the obvious, that we're not closing any buildings?
We don't know that yet. I think we want to see this. My own opinion is, if there's an alternate source of revenue that we could evaluate what the impact of the various buildings are, I would want to know what that is and potentially hold off until we understand the impact. But we can't make that decision until we understand the potential revenue sources. Mike? Dorothy? Mike? One of you guys?
I know, Jim or Bruce, there were some questions as far as some of the legalities about doing all of this. So when would we know that for sure?
And that's information we're waiting on.
Because we wouldn't be able to do any of it and produce any of the revenue unless we knew for sure that it was a go.
The legalities was really us operating it ourselves. We know we have the authority to, through building usage where a vendor could come in, that it's clear we have the authority to do that. We were attempting to do it with our own employees, called the Sachem Pre-K program, and that's what came back we don't have the authority for. But we can't contract it out.
So moving forward, we're not looking down that avenue at all, doing
well,
it ourselves?
Well, we have a meeting with Senator Flanagan. Marianne will join us. Chris Clayton will join us. But that's long term. That's changing legislation in New York State.
So there would obviously be a difference in our revenue for the program based on whether we do it ourselves or whether
we
source it out.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Can we just get a difference? I know you probably have those numbers already, but...
We didn't bid it out yet.
So we don't have any ranges yet. So we don't know the potential for revenue then if...
We could... Three Village opened their RFP. If we use them as a sample, I could give an estimate. If it comes back the same prices that Three Village received, I'm digging a...
So you're talking about right now the UPK. You're not talking about the child care.
Correct.
Okay, because those are two different things that we're talking about. What Jim had discussed before as far as a potential of $10,000 a classroom, that was for the child care.
Well, that could be UPK. For a pre-K.
All right, so we do have a number for the pre-K then.
Well, that's why I was saying, let's just say for argument's sake, and this is after an RFP, if we had 500 students and the ratio is 16 to 1, whoever would be running that would need 32 classrooms at 500 students.
Okay. But there would be a difference in the revenue, whether we do it ourselves or whether we source it out. There would be a difference in the revenue, but we're estimating right now around $10,000 a classroom. That's correct.
That's the going rate for a classroom, actually, which Three Village got and which we're charging BOCES. So we know that that's the market rate for an empty classroom. $1,000 a month, $10,000 for the year.
Okay. I guess it would help me a little bit more if I just had some type of memo or email to break this down a little bit. I'm not really clear as far as the revenue that we're looking at getting for the UPK versus the child care. Can we just send that to the board as far as the numbers that you all are working with right now or the estimates that you're working with?
Well, based on the 16 children a room, it's going to be about $300,000.
Wouldn't the revenue only be just the rental of the classroom space?
Correct. That's what we're talking. That's it.
So there's no additional revenue.
There is nothing else.
The company that's bidding on the services.
The vendor, the parents pay the vendor. Sachem would have no part of that.
So if we don't go down that avenue at all as far as any of our personnel doing it or us doing it in-house, if we source it out, we're looking at the vendor paying us $10,000 a classroom per month.
And the parents pay the vendor. We have no...
Per year.
Yeah.
Per classroom.
Right.
So it's $10,000 per year. Per classroom, and we're talking about 32 classrooms?
Correct.
Is that right?
If we had 500 students.
Yeah.
That's the max.
And then there's the child care on top of that.
Well, what we do currently is before school and after school.
Yeah.
So this is just for the UPK?
Correct. Right. We're just talking about UPK right now.
Okay. So now, and we're looking at doing this, if it's UPK, we're looking at doing it in the elementary school buildings. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. So as far as the child care that we're looking at, we're just looking at doing aftercare in the middle schools? Is that what we're looking at adding
that
on?
Paul sent a survey, and the middle schools responded. I guess you got it at home. So we're waiting for the parents to respond back to us. If there's children and we can operate it, we could start next month.
For the middle school aftercare?
For middle schools, right. Mm-hmm. We have staff that are willing to work it.
Okay. Then where would we be putting the child care during the day? Because I know, Jim, you had mentioned about doing child care, having maybe
and that
some
was
of
something
the teachers
we had
or the employees
looked into originally, and that's what we're working with Senator Flanagan on. Because currently we don't have the authority for that.
Okay, so we really can't look at that as a source of revenue right
now? Not immediately.
Okay, thank you.
Michael.
So I guess... My concern really is I'm trying to look forward at what's going to happen now in the next couple of months. you know, things like, we know the town of Brookhaven gave Motorola that $1 million abatement, so that's $1 million in taxes we're not going to get. And now I guess the town of Islip's going to give a continuing abatement to the hotel and the Red Lobster over there on the service road. So, again, keeping things off the tax roll. My concern is that this is a non-election year, and I don't know if you guys were reading news today. I know I sent an article to you guys about the governor's proposed budget for education versus what professional educators are saying are really necessary. So in a non-election year, I mean, I would not expect some sort of tremendous increase in state aid. So before we make any rash decisions, I would at least come up with a contingency plan in the event that our state aid doesn't cover our anticipated increases, whether we close something or not. Anybody see that as a potential problem? Or
Mike, we base our state aid off the governor's executive proposal.
Right.
We don't want to give it to the board. And so once Governor Cuomo puts it in his budget, we use that as the basis. Then we'll have time before New York State adopts the New York State budget by April 1st to modify our budget.
Yeah, but I don't want to be sitting on April 1st and find out now we're cutting programs by a cost of $1 million because we did not decide to close a facility to save that money. That's where I'm concerned.
Right. Okay.
Mike, I hear exactly what you're saying, and we can talk about it when the other two board members are here on there. But right now, there is not a consensus to proceed with any option. We can take.
I'm not talking about proceeding with an option. No. Just talking about.
I'm saying we can look at the options and perhaps narrow it down and have some ready to go if we need to. But right now, I don't believe there's a consensus, and I won't take a vote until the two members are here. But
I would be leery of taking any type of vote on whether we're going to close anything or not until we saw the state aid runs.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you, but I don't know what you're asking.
Well,
for
we have four options. But shouldn't we have a continue? we need to have the discussion.
Yep.
Which way we think we would go if we had to, and then have that as a contingency in the event that the state aid doesn't, if there's going to be a consensus if the state aid runs are so good and there's a consensus not to close anything, that's going to be that.
We can have that discussion on the 17th. I'm not sure we will reach a consensus, but we can have that discussion on the 17th if that's what the board chooses to do. Anybody object to that?
So that's the plan. We're going to finally talk. We sat through these four proposals, and we were told not to talk about the others. We were supposed to talk about just what was being presented that night as if it were the only option. We've had no sort of summary discussion on it. Is that when the summary discussion is going to take place, is the 17th?
That's what I'm proposing.
Let's do it. We need to start making decisions. It's just like we drag this on longer and longer and longer.
My own opinion is I think we still need to get as much information as the potential opportunity revenue we can generate, and then look at this all together and see if there's a consensus. We can have that discussion on the 17th.
So we're now looking at, just so I understand, Sal, we're now looking at five options. The four that were presented to us, and now this kind of, for lack of a better term.
No, it's four options, but there was always an option of not doing anything and generating additional revenue. So, I mean, you want to term it a fifth option, that's fine.
Okay.
But anything else? Okay. Carol, any visitors? The next meeting is the 17th at 7:30 here in the boardroom. The board will adjourn to executive session to discuss personal matters and real estate. Right? Motion, please. Mike Acerny or Rob Scavo?